Thank you, Jim, for finding that one. Phil Wickham is a contemporary artist today. Redid O Christmas Tree, and Jim found that, and so I wanted to thank him for that lovely piece. Now, our second scripture reading is going to be out of the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 1. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's going to be on page 933. So Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to be reading all the genealogies. No, just kidding. We're doing the 18 through 25. So Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, together through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband-in-law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. He will give the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we lit the fourth candle signifying God's love. Now, how do we explain God's love in just 20 minutes? I've got 24. I think we might be able to do that. But there are so many verses, so many stories, so many examples of God's grace and mercy. I'm sure you can even think of even more stories from your own lives, your own testimonies of God's love through your life, through your family, and all that he has worked throughout your life. Now, it reminded me of a hymn called simply Love of God, which says in part, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and everyone a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Saying we can't document all of God's love because it is too great for us to even fathom. And with that magnitude of love, it can be difficult sometimes to wrap our head around the idea of God's love. When that happens, we have to do things smaller, to focus our finite brains, because, be honest, when we think of infinity, the eternity of God, kind of gives us a headache, doesn't it? Well, you all know me. I like to listen to music and find inspiration in the words and the people have written down and put to music. And this song is by Mercy Me. And we all know the famous song, Mary Did You Know, which the artist tried to document what she would have been thinking. Mary, did you know about your son? Well, Mercy Me went the other way and tried to get in the mind of Joseph. Now, we just read the passage about what Joseph was thinking before the birth. But this song gets into his mindset of right after the birth. And he says, "Go to sleep, my son, this manger for your bed. You have a long road before you. Rest your little head. Can you feel the weight of your glory? Do you understand the price? Or does the Father guard your heart for now, so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This world can wait for one more minute. Go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven is lying in night. But Lord, I ask that he, for just this moment, simply be my child. Go to sleep, my son. Baby, close your eyes. Soon enough, you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, oh my Jesus, sleep tight." And when we think about God's love, probably the most effective way to start to get a glimmer of that love is to think of your own children. Think of a child. How much you love them. How much more so does God love you, that you are his children. And when we think of that, we have to consider the reason why Jesus had to come. Now, typically with Christmas messages, we don't really get to the ugly parts. Probably thinking, "Pastor, this is Christmas. There are no ugly parts." Well, what is the reason Jesus was born? Sin. Why did he have to come? To save us from that sin. What is sin? Think about your own lives. What is sin? What are the effects of sin? Well, the biggest effect is the separation from God, our Father in heaven. Separation. You know, Jesus in John 3 tells us that before he came, we were already condemned because sin had separated us from God. When we are separated from God, that is hell. Being separated from our Father in heaven is hell. Because from God is light, is love, is peace, is hope, and joy. And sin ripped us away from our Father. Now I get a little choked up about that. Because I can only imagine if someone took my child. What lengths would I go to get my child back? How much farther did our God in heaven, our Father, go to get us back? Jesus came and he said, "Devil, you don't get my children. stand back. And that's the love of God. You know, we think about Christmas as such a happy and joyous time. Because think about the joy when a child returns. Think about a joy when a family is reunited. That's the joy of Christmas. Because God came down and said, I'm getting my children back. Doesn't matter what it costs. And it costs Jesus on the cross. Jesus. That's the love of God at Christmas. Because God got his family, got his. Sin is separation from God. And when we consider that, it changes your perspective of living. Each Sunday we come here and we say a unison prayer of confession as we confess our sins. A lot of times today in this world, a quasi-Christian message gets preached of, oh, you can go live your life, God will forgive you. What did the sin do if you just go live your life however you want and say, oh, God will forgive me? And you go and sin. You're separating yourself from God again. And again, and again when you sin. When Jesus came down and gave his life so that we can be saved from that sin. To love God is to obey God. So we rejoice because we are reunited, reconciled to God the Father. But then, how do we respond to that love? We follow God. We follow his commands. We follow where he leads. Where does he lead us? He leads us to go get more of his children back. The church is the vehicle by which God is using his grace to spread the message of the gospel. We ourselves have no power, but God is using us through the power of the Holy Spirit to go get more of his children. To tell them that their Father in heaven loves them, that Jesus came to die for them, that the Holy Spirit will regenerate them. Like I said, God's not going to stop. He's going to get his children back. He's going to kick down the gates of hell to get his children back. As I was scrolling through the internet, I found a wonderful example of just that. And I'd like to thank our former interim pastor, Glenn Coleman, because he's the one who posted it. Thanks, Glenn. I'm going to use this. But he posted this pastor talking about why Jesus to Caesarea Philippi and talked about how the gates of hell will not prevail over the church. And I'll just give you a quick reference. The place of Caesarea Philippi had a huge trench that by the historical tradition, it was at the base of the Mount Hermon, and people thought that's where the demonic invasion started, that's the gates of hell. And so he went there. I'm going to now start quoting here. Here's the question that echoed in the underworld. Standing in front of the cave, the very place where hell's agenda historically entered the world, Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? not in Jerusalem, not in the synagogue, but at hell's front porch. Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of living God." Translation in that setting, "You outrank every fallen being who ever slithered out of that hole." And Jesus replied, "On this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Most Bible translations will say prevail, but Dr. Michael Heiser suggests that the best translation of prevail here would be withstand. We'll use that more accurate word because it's important. Now, the Greek word has two root words, kata, meaning against, and ischus, strength, force, or power. It doesn't mean prevail over, as in defeat. It means to be strong enough to withstand, hold back, or resist an advancing force. Every Jew understood this was not a metaphor. He was pointing directly at the cave, this rock, this battlefield, this demonic stronghold. Jesus wasn't saying the church would hide behind gates. He was saying his assembly would storm hell's gates. See difference. Don't attack. Gates defend, don't they? This Christian culture bless their sugar, cinnamon, sweet, naive, get it backwards. Gates are defensive structures. You put up gates on your walls to keep enemies out, not to attack your neighbor. Gates withstand sieges. This isn't about hell attacking you. It's about hell being unable to stop you. So when Jesus says, the gates, he means hell is the one on defense. I'm the one launching the offensive. He's not describing a cowering church clinging to holding until the rapture bus arrives. He's describing a Torah-rooted, spirited, awake remnant, the king darkness, that the gates of hell buckle. The real translation is hell won't be able to against my people, only on the offensive, not on defensive. Kicking down the demon door. He had a little more colorful language in that line. You see the flip? It is not hell attacking the saints. It's saints attacking hell. I'll clarify that point. It's the Holy Spirit using us. We don't have the power. So why announce this at Caesarea Philippi? Because of Genesis 6. Jesus goes to the very mountain where the enemy launched his most devastating attempt to corrupt humanity's DNA in Genesis 6. Stands at the very gate the nations believed connected to the underworld and declares, "Your time is up. I'm taking it all back." This is not symbolism. This is a declaration of cosmic jurisdiction. He is saying, "I'm reclaiming the nations. I'm undoing the Watcher's rebellion. I am reversing the corruption of the earth. My kingdom is not retreating, it is invading." This is a war cry. Jesus was picking a fight, and the spiritual realm heard it loud and clear. Now he goes on with some more colorful language about attacking, but think about that in relation to what we were just talking about. What will a father do to get his children back? He sends us out. He redeemed us, reconciled us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the redeemed children of God. We rejoice that Jesus came. We rejoice in the light that he brought. But we don't keep that light for ourselves. We go get more of our brothers and sisters. This Christmas, proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Proclaim his name above all other names. Don't worry about offending people. Sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes people want to say, don't judge me. I'm going to live my life the way I want it to. So yeah, see that. You're about to live your life off the cliff. I'm here to help you. Jesus Christ, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Only Father is through him. So this Christmas, as you're gathered around your, hold them tight. Sing praises to our Lord. But this new year, let's go get our brothers and sisters back. That's the power of God. Hope plus equals joy. All because eternal, infinite love for us. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray you. Much that it's hard to even fathom. We thank you for the things that we don't even know about, but we trust that you are working in our lives. We thank you for jealously searching after us. Sending Jesus, the form of a servant, to die, to show us the way, to bring us back to you, because we are your children. Father God, open the eyes of our heart that we may see you fully, that we may understand our place in your wonderful, epic love story of redeeming humanity and conquering hell, conquering sin, conquering death, all because of your almighty love, infinite, never-ending love for us. Help us to be bold for you. It's in Jesus' holy, matchless name we pray. Amen.